Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello there, Tom Allen here, sitting in for Chris on the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up on the show, the hilarious James Acaster flips through his new book, James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media. Awesome actress Anne-Marie Duff chats about her new Apple TV Plus show, Bad Sisters. Footballing hero Jamie Redknapp shares all about Series 17 of A League of Their Own on Sky Max. And the wackily wonderful Alex Brooker tells us about his new Channel 4 show, Hobby Man. All of that and so much more to come, so let's hear our very first guest. If you've been wasting your life away scrolling through your socials, our next guest might be just what you need. His brand new book, James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media, is out now. So please welcome the stunner of a social media shunner, the bloke you can no longer poke. It's the hilarious James Acaster.
Yes. Thank you, Tom.
James. Lovely to have you here. And we've known each other for a long time, I think we should tell people.
A long time. Normally this time of year we'd be at the Edinburgh Festival together. We were flatmates for 4 years at the Edinburgh Festival.
Several years. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe as long as that.
Yeah.
Long time. Long
happy
time.
Times.
Happy times. I should have said that first. Happy times. Yeah, that was a very fun time. In fact, our flat, I would say, was the best bit for me about being in Edinburgh, because I find the festival quite overwhelming. I've said it before, I find it quite overwhelming. But,
yes. It's overwhelming, but, you know, we had a lovely flat, even though once a man got angry with one of the people who lived in our flat tried to kick our door in and sprayed a rude word across
they
our door.
They did do that, Sinead.
It was very scary.
Very scary, but we're tough. We can handle ourselves,
as me and Tom were rolling up our sleeves on the other side of that door going, just you try and break through that, mate. You see what happens.
It took me ages to roll up my sleeves as well, because, you know, I fold each bit back by back. I don't like too much creasing. James, you're here to talk about your new book. Tell us, you describe it to us.
I'm a self-help guru now, Tom. That is what I've decided to be. I'm going to help everyone. I'm curing everyone of their social media addiction. Everyone listening to this knows they've got a problem, and I'm here to help them address that problem.
And it's a brilliant book. I think some people you've been speaking to about it haven't quite understood that it is. Is it fair to say it's a fictionalized imagining of you as a guru who is advising people to quit social media and your experience with it?
Yes. If I may remove my mask for a second,
I mean,
you know that. that yeah, very much. It's like sure. In real life, I have quit social media. That is real, but it's rather boring. But people always ask me about it. People would ask me about it in interviews and say, like, so what? Why did you quit? How did you quit? What advice would you give other people? What's your life like now? Mm. All my answers would be so dull. So I started making up answers instead. I started making up stupid things that I'd done, stupid reasons why I'd quit. And I enjoyed all of that and building that fake world. And I thought, do you know what? Let's put all of this into a book and really go all in on it.
So
it's a fictitious version of my life. And even though there are bits in it where I get my tie caught in a candy floss machine and I get a job at a primary school so I can bully kids, even though that's in there, there have been a lot of interviewers who think the book is serious.
Well, and the fact that it's in the beginning, it says you are the first person to join MySpace.
Yep.
And Tom from MySpace, which is Tom Space.
His surname is Space.
Space, yes. Tom Space is your actual real life friend who plays a real role. That's what's suggested in the book. And some people thought that was absolutely true.
Yeah, so that's really early on in the book, is that I'm the first person outside of Tom to ever join MySpace. For months, it's just me and Tom being best friends on there. And everyone thinks, wow, this is a real scoop. Can't believe this. James Acaster was the first civilian to ever join MySpace.
But I think that's what people really love about you, is that you do take maybe something that's grounded in reality as a jumping off point, and then you really skewer it and really kind of create a really imagined world, but grounded in the real world, but sort of that's heightened and that is playful and fun and silly. And I think that really resonates with people, because we live in an age when everyone's so serious and so earnest about things.
Especially about social media. People are very, very serious about it, and I get that there's a lot of serious stuff on there. Hey, this is a serious world we live in.
Very.
But then what would it be without its clowns?
Yes. I wish I could put that as a quote on your book. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have put it.
I mean, to be honest, the cover just makes me laugh. yourself as well because you look so earnest. As like, yeah. I mean, it's very much spoofing those kind of self-help gurus, of which there are
so
many
these days.
Yeah,
when I went to do the photo shoot, I was like, I want my hair really up and back and I want to wear this suit and roll my sleeves up and wear trainers with the suit and just look like as much of a wrong'un as like someone you should never, ever trust.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you should not trust that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... Yeah, and now it's come out and everyone just thinks that's my new look, I think.
Oh, I guess that's him now.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that is strange, isn't it? People will be like that. People will take you at your own valuation.
Yeah, when you realise that, I mean, no wonder politicians get away with it all the time.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Am I right?
Am I right?
Am I right? Sinead and I were talking yesterday about being gurus and how maybe we should launch a YouTube channel where we just advise people. We were trying to tell people about their... Your microphone is on there, Sinead.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
The light's on.
The light is on.
But nobody's heard.
We were telling people how they should deal with their A-level results. I mean, very bold, considering it's 20 years since I did my A-levels and I didn't go to university and I haven't used them since.
Yeah, sure.
Did you enjoy writing this, though, James?
I loved it. Just getting completely lost in a ridiculous world where the character all the way through the book is trying to find replacements in the real world for what social media used to give him. So, like, just a lot of silly capers, making my own memes, making my own GIFs with a full film crew and forming a whole cult by the end as well. So I got to really let my imagination run wild. But also, you know, occasionally there is a little bit of truth shines through there. And you do like have a little reflection on how you know how you feel about social media or people, or just society in general in a nice way, in an affectionate way. Actually.
Isn't what Alan Bennett says? We don't write about ourselves, but we find ourselves in our writing.
Oh, I love it.
See, this is why we're gurus, all of us now. Yeah. We're so great at telling people what to do. James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media (brackets book). That's
Brackett's
book. It's available right now. It is a humorous book. It is very funny. You've probably seen James's specials on Netflix. They do very well. He's a very funny man, good friend of mine. This book is excellent and a real wry look at the world of self-help gurus and the world of social media. I loved it and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And I got a name check in the first couple of pages, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not about that, is it? Everybody, give it up for the fabulous James Acaster.
Yes!
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
We've got a guest, Sinead.
I know!
Oh, over our next guest's career, she's been shameless, dealt with some very dark materials, and now she's starring in Bad Sisters, a new dark comedy thriller premiering on Apple TV Plus on Friday. Her name might be Duff, but her acting talents are anything but. Felix loves the wordplay. He loves the wordplay. Please welcome our sister from another mister, the unstoppable Anne-Marie Duff.
Good morning.
Good morning, Anne-Marie. Thank you for joining us on a Tuesday morning. How have you been?
My pleasure. I've been hot, same as everybody else. Of course, a bit clammy.
Yeah, of course.
Like we're praying for rain.
Yeah, we all are. Hopefully it's coming today.
Please, God.
Please, hopefully. We're very excited about your new show, which starts on Friday, Bad Sisters. Could you tell us how you would describe it? What is it about?
Well, it's Sharon Horgan's latest project. Mm. So it's a gorgeous sort of dark comedy. But, you know, the way she writes is always super funny, but very much full of humanity. And there are heartbreaking moments. And it's about a family. It's about an Irish family of sisters. There are five of us. Mm-hmm. And one of the sisters, who I play, called Grace, has married badly. And she sadly is living in a very... an awful coercive marriage. And so the other sisters make it their mission to rescue her by fair means or foul. Mm. This is no spoiler. At the start of the show, my husband is dead. So that's the starting point. And then we jump back and forth in time and it's a bit of a whodunit as to, did they free her from the terrible chains that bind her So it's really good fun, very thrilling, it's really audacious, actually. I've seen it now. I've seen it all. And it's fantastic. I can't, quite often you plug things and you think, it's all right. But,
well, I wonder what things they were.
But this one, I can say, hand on heart, it's such a good show.
Oh, fabulous. And I think, I love Sharon Horgan. I love her work. And like you say, that amazing ability to tread between tragedy and comedy when we think of, you know, like so much, well, so many of the things she's made in the last few years. I mean, she's so inspiring. Did you love working with her?
I absolutely did. Her work ethic is phenomenal. You know, she's in the show, she wrote the show, she produces the show, and she also show runs, which is a kind of an American thing.
What does that mean? When do they say that?
It just means you sort of oversee everything.
Oh, really? Well, even the lunch breaks.
It's like being God.
that must be a lot. I always think that
a bit like a television god. So it's exhausting. So she has to say yes on everything and approve everything. I mean, it's I've never seen anybody work so hard in my life.
My goodness, that is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'd probably get quite tired. If somebody, do you know what I mean? If somebody was like, oh, I've got to go on a first aid course, and I'm like,
decision fatigue.
Decision fatigue. Exactly. The catering's rubbish. Oh, yeah. I don't care. I did my best.
I know, that's the thing, isn't it? You just think, my God. Outside of the NHS, I'd say she works harder than anyone.
So it's NHS and then Sharon Horgan.
Yeah, easily.
Oh, wow. I wonder if she'll stand for Prime Minister. That would be good. Oh,
I would like that.
I would like that. I would like that. I don't think I'd mess around either.
No.
I think we'd all listen to Sharon if she was in charge. Yeah, she'd get things done. And you're playing, Anne-Marie, you're playing a character who is who's the sweet, kindly one of the sisters. Is that right? You're the...
Well, it's a bit tricky to say that because... She, as I say, she's, I mean, this is a morning breakfast show, but she is a, as opposed to an evening breakfast show, which it is. But she is, as I say, she's living with a terrible bully. So we don't really know who she is, you know, she's sort of become a translucent version of herself. So when we meet this woman, she could be anybody, really. She's just desperately people-pleasing and shape-shifting and trying to please him and constantly failing because he's impossible to be with. And at the same time, trying to maintain a sense of herself with her sisters who are losing her. It's not that she's sweet and kind, that's wrong in a way. Okay. It's that she's sort of a lost soul.
Right.
And they need to get her back.
How do you find playing characters like that? Because you're so brilliant at making the people you play feel so multifaceted, but also so vulnerable. How does that feel? I mean, in the pressures of a film set, you're recording it, it's very busy. How do you reach that sort of that point where you're able to deliver that vulnerability?
Yeah, because you can't lie because it's camera, you know, and people will tell if you're not there, won't they? You know, so it's really important that you do. And we, Clace Bang, who plays John Paul, who's the baddie, you know, and it's so brilliantly awful. He's fantastic in it.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, we've got this brilliant situation where the audience will be rooting for me and my rescue, but at the same time going, kill him, go on, kill him. So that's quite good. But, we really, really felt that it was very important that we create a totally believable, unhealthy case of domestic abuse. If we do that, then the comedy can happen all around it.
Right.
So we did. We did have to really play it for truth. And, yeah, it can make you a bit blue, but you've only have to do it for a wee while and, you know, it's part of the job and you think of anyone who might be watching who's not necessarily married to a bully, could be bullied in the workplace or just a kid who's getting bullied in the school playground or, you know, to go, actually, you know, we shouldn't be treated that way. It's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, And when people make us feel that we have no power, it's a big fat lie.
Right.
You know, and I think that's, you remind yourself of that and that helps you, you know?
I mean, it is extraordinarily brave though to tackle such a big issue, such a important, serious issue in amongst some you know, a tragicomedy.
You know, but to have you know this, Tom, you're a comedian.
Yeah. Well,
you call yourself
that. I've got so-called comedian, they say.
No, but there's no comedy without jeopardy,
I mean, absolutely, yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, Buster Keaton stands in a house of fools and nearly kills him.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a sense of tragedy right round the corner or we don't laugh.
Yeah, it's very true that I find that. When I'm writing material, I find that if I try and write it, that it's like, oh, yeah, just a thing. I don't really care about it. The audiences are like, well, you don't really care about it, do you? So you have to write about those vulnerable things. You have to write about the things that make you feel something. Anne-Marie Duff, thank you so much for joining us. Bad Sisters is available exclusively on Apple TV Plus via Sky Q. You can get that via your Sky Q.
The Q or the Cube?
The Q. It's called the Q. I've been told it's called the Sky Q. I thought it's called the Sky Cube.
Well, it's an easy mistake.
It's an easy mistake to make. And I like the idea of a Sky Cube. I think that would look really elegant on a sideboard.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just suggesting it to Sky. Just saying, thank you for sponsoring the show. Also, I've got a few ideas. Bad Sisters starts this Friday, the 19th of August, and it's magnificent. Anne-Marie Duff, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been lovely to see you, and lovely to chat.
Cheers.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
From footballing phenomenon to Sky Sports superstar, this next guest has been keepy-upping on our screens for over 30 years. He's back for the 17th series of A League of Their Own, which begins tomorrow night and runs on all the Thursdays coming up at 9 p.m. on Sky Max. Get your tracksuits off and do your stretches, as it's time for kickoff. It's Jamie Redknapp.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing, mate?
Jamie, I'm very well, thank you, mate. Thank you for calling me mate. I feel like one of the lads already.
You are one of the lads.
Yes.
Well, you've been on League of Their Own plenty of times, and we've obviously done the stuff on the road trip as well when you came on, and you were very, very good. You didn't play Del Boy. Who did you play on the Only Fools and Horses?
I think I played the waiter in the musical of Only Fools and Horses as part
of the road trip.
Yeah, very important role, very important, or something like that. I can't remember what it was. We had a laugh though. We always have a laugh. That's the thing about League of Their Own. It's great fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. When you did the intro there and you said 17 series, it sort of sinks in, and we go, wow. I mean, that's pretty... You've been in TV a long time. When you get a feat or an achievement like that, he's certainly proud of it. And I've been there from the start.
Yeah.
We've gone through a few different people. James Corden was involved, Jack Whitehall, John Bishop. Freddie has obviously been involved for a long, long time. He's now, unfortunately, left and he's going to do more Top Gear work. But Micah Richards has joined us now. So it's been brilliant fun. And I just hope people enjoy it like they have done previously.
And Romesh is a great host, isn't he? Romesh Ranganathan has been hosting it for a few years now. I think he brings a really lovely energy to it, doesn't he, Ron?
Yeah, well, Romesh is one of those guys. He's so... To host and to be as funny and articulate and just, you know, he's an amazing guy. He's done so well for himself. As you know, we see a lot of him on our TV screens now, but everything he does, he's a huge success. And, you know, being the host has been good. You know, he's been so much fun. And I think with Rom and the people like James, you work with the guys that are so elite at what they do, and you really see how good they are. And, you know, not just funny, but so bright and do things so well. Yeah,
that's why I got asked to do it. That's why I got asked to do it. That and my sporting knowledge as well. I know a lot about sport, as you know, Jamie.
Well, that's the thing, Tom. When you come on, it's just like, because normally you come on my team, I just know we can't lose because you are, you know, your sports knowledge, football knowledge,
playing knowledge, playing experience as well. That's the thing as well that gives it that added edge. I just know everything. For example, earlier, I didn't know what were we saying about Sinead?
Super League.
Super League. Have you heard of the Super League? Apparently that's not football, it's rugby. Did you know that, Jamie?
I don't like to embarrass you, mate, but I did know that, actually.
Oh, how did you know that?
When you said Super League, they were trying to do a Super League last year, so you were ahead of the
game.
There
you go, because I listen. Well,
yes,
I've got, you know, I've got TalkSport on a lot of the time, and I think I pick up on these things. I just thought it was the new name for the Premier League. They were just going to call it the Super League. It's so super. Such a great league. It's super. But no, I get it all wrong, don't I? But you've got some nice guests coming on this series, haven't you, Jamie?
We have, yes. The first one starts on Thursday, as you say. 9 o'clock. We've got Declan Rice is on. We've got Kyle Walker. We've got the youth. I'm not sure why you didn't come on this series. Someone told me that you were too busy. You got too much going on.
I was actually quite busy, Jamie. I was quite busy. Unfortunately, I couldn't make any of the days, but I did try.
Next series, Tom, because we always like having you on. But no,
that's what I mean. I just have to be on the bench for a bit. You know, I just get subbed out onto the bench, don't I?
On the Super League. Yeah, but when the Super League starts, Super League next year, League of Their Own, we need you back on.
Oh,
but no, it's been good. We've got the usual, you know, great comedians. Jimmy Carr is on.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy's on.
Jimmy's obviously gets very close to the bone, doesn't he, with his humour, but I love Jimmy.
I don't know what you mean. You got Rob's coming in as well. Rob's always a triumph on that show. Rob Beckett.
Yeah, no, do you know what? Rob Beckett didn't come on in the end, I tell you, because Romesh had... the first series we were meant to film, Romesh had COVID, so we didn't actually film that one. So Rob didn't come on this series. So any Rob Beckett fans, don't come, you know, shouting at us because he didn't come on. It wasn't his fault.
I've got it in front of me. Rob Beckett's doing
the first record.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Josh Whittington was on as well.
Whittingham,
that would be that one.
Yeah.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, but you're Cash. You just call him Josh. You don't call people by their full name.
Joshy.
That's what the lads are like.
So it's good fun, and I think considering how long it's gone on, you know, new people coming onto the show, it seems to have had that same sort of energy. So fingers crossed, people enjoy it as much as they've enjoyed the previous series. Oh.
It's a wonderful show, actually, and it's so much fun, like truly fun. All those games that we play, and it's quite like it's just proper, just silliness. And you do such a good job, all of you guys. Whenever I've been on your team, Jamie, you've always made me feel very welcome, and I think that really counters that. You know, people could expect it to be like a very laddie show, but actually, it's very friendly and a lot of fun. I think it's fun for everybody to watch, whether you like sport or you don't. There, I've said it, and I like doing it. And when it comes to doing those sporty games at the end, I'm rubbish, but I don't mind because I enjoy it. I have a bit of a laugh.
No, we do. I think that is the key to it. When you do a lot of like TV shows, the one thing that always comes across from the comedians after is that they get a load of time to have a chat. Think with Micah Richards, who's come on and been brilliant, he's been so energetic. We love having, because we always look at the comedians or the pop stars. That's what we would love to have done. And I think sometimes you get the people on from their world that would love to have been footballers. So it's nice when the worlds collide and we just have a bit of fun. And,
oh, what a nice way of looking at it. Yeah, well, I'm so excited that Micah's joined the teams there and is a permanent part of the series now. I think it's going to be a really exciting one. And I can't wait to tune in tomorrow, Jamie. It starts League of Their Own, Series 17, kicks off tomorrow night at 9 p.m. It's on Thursday nights on Sky Max and on Now TV. Jamie, thanks so much for chatting to us. It's always lovely to catch up.
Lovely, Tom. Keep up the good work. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. Yeah, I'm saying mate now. Thanks, mate. You have a lovely day. All right. I'll see you soon, Tom. Okay. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Sinead, we've got our guests here.
I know, it's great.
From bird watching to knitting, from philately to cheese rolling, our next guest has tried it all, but now he's looking for a new hobby. Handily enough, his new show, Hobby Man, starts tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. So let's meet the man who's turned finding a hobby into his full-time jobby. It's the brilliant Alex Brooker.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you. What an intro that is.
What an intro. Felix does them. He gets overexcited. He does a lot of wordplay. But we let him. And he's very good at them. He's very good.
Very nice.
Alex, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, mate.
Pleasure.
It's good to see you. I still can't get over not seeing you in a suit.
It's because I'm a super cool DJ these days.
I love it.
I'm a super cool dirge.
It's like, you know, when you used to go on like a school trip and the teachers would be like... But obviously, in this case, if the teachers were super stylish, of
course. Yeah, of course, super stylish. Yeah, thank you for saying I look like a geography teacher on a day off.
No, you look fantastic as always, mate.
Very, very flattered. Very flattered. No, it's lovely to have you here. Normally, I'm on your sofa doing something live on The Last Leg.
Yeah.
So I'm very delighted to welcome you here into our beautiful studio. And we're talking today about your new show, Hobby Man. You describe it. What is it?
Well, basically, I kind of got to the age of 38 and I kind of realised that the only things I really like still are like football and Ghostbusters. And I liked those things when I was like 7. So I'd not added to my wheelhouse in about 30 odd years. So kind of Channel 4 came to me with a show about trying new hobbies. And I thought, you know what? This seems like trying, you know, become a bit more of a rounded person, try and bring something new into my life. So every week there's 4 shows. I go to a different part of the UK with a different guest and try 3 different lovely hobbies.
Oh, I love it. I saw the first episode with Scarlett Moffat and it's so gorgeous. You go to Edinburgh, which looks beautiful as always, and then it's got a really nice pace to it because you're doing just very interesting things like chess, which are actually quite cool, quite calm, quite serene. And you don't get many of those things.
No, it was a real kind of mixture. Again, these are things that I just wouldn't normally... As you get older, you kind of tend to just kind of fall into the same routines every week and doing the same things. So that's what really attracted me to the show, is to try and do something new, try and do different things. I'd never played chess before, got bang into it.
Yeah, you really got into it.
I'm so gung-ho on it. There's a thing where it's like tactics and patience, and that didn't play to my strengths. I'm just gung-ho and then I lose. I've been playing on the app after
you've really
the show.
Got into it then?
Yeah, I lose all the time on it. It just gets me annoyed.
It's difficult though, chess, isn't it? It's very hard.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's some of them are really good in it. It's like I also get like siege mentality, even if you're playing against like a faceless person. you've not even, you're going like, he thinks I'm thicky. And it's like, and then it turns out I am.
But good that you that you use that energy constructively.
It was. And like, you know, in the Edinburgh episode, I mean, we went and bird watching.
Yes, twitch. Is that twitching?
Twitching.
Yeah. It's called twitching, bird watching.
It's a weird thing when you're going into a hut in the middle of nowhere. And I was I was a bit sceptical about bird watching, probably more than any of the others, because I just couldn't, I don't know how you police it.
What do you mean, police it?
So if you just go, I've just seen a golden eagle.
No one
can ever go, because you don't take a photo of it, because they fly past really quickly. So I was just like, and it's all on trust.
Isn't that the nature of these hobbies as well? Is that they're not for, they're not to be proved or disproved. I think we live in an age where everything is like, you put something on social media and people go, well, I bet it didn't happen. You can't just say that. I don't believe you. Yeah. And it's so angry and so kind of competitive.
Yeah, I think that's me.
It's mainly you, Alex, who says it to me, which is unfortunate. But just to go I just did it and that's it.
And it was genuinely really peaceful. I absolutely loved it. And what I love about the show is the contributors that we have, they're so passionate about their hobbies. And I always think that there's something that's really endearing when, even if it's something you've never thought about before, like bird watching, and they talk with such passion and they genuinely love it, and it kind of rubs off on you. And I think that was one of the things that I really enjoyed most about the show, was seeing how much these people love their hobbies and why, and kind of what it brings to their lives and their mental health and stuff like that. And it was great.
It's really brilliant. And as well, what's nice about the show is that it shows ways that everybody can get involved in something, because I thought that was really nice when you went to the women's beer tasting, beers with no beards.
Yeah, beers without beards.
You did have your beard, of course.
Yeah.
Really allowed you in for that one. But just saying, you don't have to be an expert on beer to engage with kind of beer tasting and learning about beer making.
No, and it was great, and I really enjoyed that. I'll be honest with you, the homebrew was my favourite hobby. That was the one where I thought I could get bang into this.
I can imagine you getting into that actually.
Yeah, I do like a drinker. We designed our own beer on it as well.
Yeah, it was great.
Hoppy Man. It works on a couple of levels.
Lovely. Yeah, it's really clever wordplay. Really good.
But we designed our own beer, and that was a lot of fun as well. I really enjoyed that. I've got a load of bottles of it at home as well. I actually think it's decent. We gave them the kind of the remit that I wanted something that was like a turbo shandy.
Yeah.
Like a beer and Smirnoff Ice. We wanted something that you could really get into.
Yeah. And really get into that.
So we made this lemony beer, me and Scarlett Moffat. We were trying all the hops. We were just want it to taste lemony, but also absolutely blow your head off. And it was kind of, I don't know how many times, it's not really the sort of thing. Obviously drink responsibly.
Obviously drink responsibly. Responsibly, thank you.
It was a lot of fun, but
brilliant though. And then you've got something to show for it, which I think is so nice. This new 4-part series, Hobby Man, begins tomorrow, Friday the 19th of August at 8 p.m. on Channel 4, and is also available on All 4, and you can get that via Sky Q, which would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Sky Q, not called Sky Cube, as I called it the other day. Alex Brooker, thank you so much for coming in. Lovely to chat with you, and all the best with the fabulous series.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
See you soon.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
We've heard from a bunch of incredible guests already, but there's still more to come. Acting superstar Henry Lloyd Hughes tells us all about his new BBC One drama, Marriage. Steps singing sensation Claire Richards gives us the lowdown on the band's latest single, Hard to Forget. And culinary king Theo Randall spills the beans on his latest cookbook, The Italian Pantry. So let's get right back into it. From Harry Potter to the Inbetweeners, acting and our next guest go together like a horse and carriage. Now he's playing Jamie in hit new drama Marriage, which continues on Sunday at 9 on BBC One, 9 p.m. that is. Here to tell us about vows and I do's, please welcome the brilliant Henry Lloyd Hughes. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I don't want to sound too starstruck, but I actually saw you present the Broadcast Awards.
Henry.
It was a massive event, and you were marvellous. You were marvellous.
This is one of my favourite starts to an interview I've ever had, so thank you. I like you coming in here with praise.
My pleasure. We lost, though. I was in a show that was nominated for Best Drama, and we lost to Landscapers. And to be fair, Landscapers is such a good show, I wouldn't have bothered turning up if I knew that we were up against them. No chance.
Look, those awards are not, they're not about winning. They're about just celebrating everybody's work. You know that, and that's what everybody definitely believes.
Certainly had no experience of winning, so I can guarantee you the authenticity in that statement, which is that that is my only experience of going to award ceremonies, is not winning.
It's a night out, though, isn't it? It's a night out.
Night out on the tiles, night out with the lads.
With the lads. And it's very much, that's the theme of this show, actually, nights out with the lads. We're always talking about, you know, how laddie Sinead and I are. So, yeah, that's absolutely on.
Well, we've already looked at Sinead's coat.
Exactly. Henry, I like that you've been listening to the show before we joined you. Some people don't even listen.
I've been stuck in Zoom purgatory for hours.
Oh, yeah. Do they get you on the Zoom a bit early? Oh, that's what happens.
I had a Zoom nightmare last night anyway.
Tell us.
All-time worst.
Oh, go on.
I had to do a screen test for a very important job.
Yes.
And at the last minute, in a kind of actorly decision, the project is set somewhere very cold. So I decided to do the screen test wearing quite a big coat. So I was thinking about Sinead's coat.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Once the scenes began, I realised I was massively overheating, but it was too late. So I was basically schwitzing to oblivion there in the scenes. And then worse than that, my delightful three-year-old daughter decided to have the world's biggest tantrum the scenes were supposed to be full of this deeply dark import and these incredibly loaded silence. There's even a moment in the scene in which I'm supposed to turn to my scene partner and say, "Can you hear the howling of the wolves?" And all I could hear was my three-year-old ruining it for me.
Daddy, so why aren't you listening to me? That sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh. So my career's over, Tom, but it was great. This will be my retirement interview. But it's nice to just wrap it up with you, I think.
A Lifetime Achievement Award, if you like. A Lifetime Achievement Award. Yeah, there you go.
That might be one I can win.
There's one. Great career. Now, Henry, you're actually joining us to talk about your role as Jamie in the new BBC series, Marriage. I very much enjoyed the first episode. It's a brilliant series, beautiful. Tell the listeners what it's about.
I would describe it as a heart-stopping thrill ride through the agonies of real life.
That sounds, it's very naturalistic, isn't it? You feel like you're eavesdropping on somebody's relationship, on someone's marriage. It's very beautifully created, isn't it? Very beautiful,
yeah,
beautifully thanks. Written.
I think Stefan is a genius, and I think I hope that this show kind of anoints him as a national treasure.
Goloszewski. Stefan Goloszewski.
Yeah, go on, have a go on it.
Yeah,
have
I said it right, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
why
right.
not?
He
why
wrote
not?
It.
He wrote it. He also did Mum and Him and Her. And I just think it's so deeply, painfully truthful in all the ways that drama can be. And I recognise that's a little bit different if you're used to seeing Sean Bean in Game of Thrones or Nicola Walker fighting crime.
Yes.
But
it is an amazing cast.
I also think that this is the best drama that the BBC will do this year. And that's my story that I'm speaking to.
Henry, that is an excellent claim. But I can see that, though, because watching it, it does have a tonally, it has a totally different feel about it to anything I've seen, I think. Because as Stefan says, and I do know Stefan, actually, from back in the day at the Edinburgh Festival, actually.
I
know them all, Henry. I know them all.
The grease paint years.
That's right. I've done it all. I have. He said, he wanted it to feel like real life rather than just sort of the usual kind of tied up with a bow version of relationships that you see on television and in films, I think, which it definitely feels like.
You know, if you have a scene where someone walks in and they're doing the dishwasher, Sean's character is doing the dishwasher and his daughter walks in and he doesn't know, they don't have anything to say to each other. I mean, what else? Where else? You know, that is so that is so real. And yet it takes a certain type of genius to have the audacity to say, I'm going to write a scene in which a dad is doing the dishwasher and he doesn't know what to say to his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and the potency in that. I think once you get into the world of the Pinter pauses.
I find it
very profoundly moving and agonizing to watch. In a way, you know, like I suppose like when people first watched The Office and there was a moment where they turned around to each other and said, hang on a second, why am I watching a show about a paper distributing company? that's not fair. That's not what TV drama is about. But, you know, anyway, there's a scene in which Sean's character asks for some invigorating shower gel. and I won't say any more, but it's just loaded. It's just loaded with everything.
But that's
that's the scene, not the shower gel.
Yeah. Henry, you play Emma's boss, who's played by Nicola Walker. You're described as, on one level, a high-achieving alpha go-getter, but on every other level, a hollow man.
Oh.
And what I found today, Henry Lloyd Hughes, is that you're none of those things, so you must be a very good actor. So, well done, you.
Do you like to make pretend?
Well, don't we all? Don't we all, really? One way or another, love. Thank you so much for joining us, Henry Lloyd Hughes. Marriage continues this Sunday. It sounds like our marriage continues. This show called Marriage Continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. on BBC One. All episodes are available on BBC iPlayer now. It's absolutely beautiful to watch. And Henry Lloyd Hughes, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Lovely to chat.
It's like our marriage never ends.
It's like it's exactly like that.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
The way that they make us feel is certainly no tragedy, as they've been getting our feet stomping for 25 years. Their latest single, Hard to Forget, is out now and is taken from their third official greatest hits album, Platinum Collection, which hits shelves tomorrow. It's time to begin. Let's count her in. It's Claire from Steps.
Yay!
Claire, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. What an intro.
What an intro. And it really built the suspense, didn't it?
Really?
The way we said your name at the beginning of it.
Who knew?
Who knew? Claire. Can you believe it? Celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. Steps have been around for 25 years.
I know. I do apologise.
That's what I like about Steps. Humble, always got so much humility. What's it like, though? Because it's a Steps are a band who have been part of so many of our lives, you know, really been the energy of so many dance floors we've been on, so many moments in all of our existence. How does that feel?
Do you know what? It's amazing. It's quite unbelievable to me. I'm aware of it, but it just feels weird. We just go about our business and do what we do. And the fact that people love it is amazing.
Yeah.
And it does make us all feel quite humble that after 25 years, people are still buying tickets to come and see us and want our albums. And, you know, and we're on our third greatest hits, which does have some new material on it this time.
That's a great thing to put some new material on it as well.
Yeah, see, we've had another three studio albums since the last one, so
yeah,
it's updated and all very exciting and glossy and platinum looking.
It's always glossy with you guys, and I think that's what people love about you is that. And they stay with Steps for their, you know, for all of time because they see how genuine you all are. You really love what you do. You always put on a great show. You always release great songs. I mean, that's the dream. That's the best sort of musician you can be, surely.
Yeah. And we don't apologise for it. You know, we are...
You did apologise at the beginning of this interview,
Claire.
Well,
I did apologise. We don't apologise for, you know, what we do and the way
we do it. Yeah.
It's kind of, it's not cool and it's not everybody's cup of tea. But if it is your cup of tea, it's just that real escapism, I guess.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's a little bit of glitter and a little bit of sparkle and we just kind of,
yeah,
you know, do what we did in the 90s.
Yeah, but it's positivity and happiness, isn't it? And I think, you know, we talk about cool. We were saying earlier with Alex Brooker about, like, hobbies. And I remember growing up, if you had a hobby, people were like, oh, you're so sad. You're so embarrassing. But actually, the coolest thing is to just be full of life and to do stuff and be interested in stuff and just celebrate.
Exactly. And so many people love that. I think we did go through quite a long period of time where people would never admit that they liked Steps. You know, they would kind of whisper behind their hands if they liked a Steps song. But now people are quite happy to go, oh, I love Steps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they've really been taken to the heart of, like, I would say, the camp community. The queer community really, really loves Steps. Mm. And my boyfriend, for example, is a huge fan of you guys. And Attili here on the team has been teaching me the dance moves so I can be a fully-fledged gay man. And know that... You saw it? Did you see it?
Yes, I've seen it.
Claire, what did you think?
I couldn't work out if you it was confusion or you were terrified. Mm.
That is actually a lot of the time how I look.
Me too.
Please, let this be okay. Let this be okay. I hope I get it right. It's really fun to do the dance moves.
It is really fun, you know, especially when you remember them. Happens less and less these days.
Oh, no, you're so busy touring.
I know. We've got lots of summer shows this summer. That's and they're always great to do because the crowds are always really up for it. So it's great.
Oh, my goodness. They love you. Yeah. That's why. It's a great fun. Show. And we are here to talk about the new single, which is really quite something. And may I say, it's got special dispensation that we're playing it on Virgin Radio.
Oh.
Because we don't often play a lot of Steps. So Rouge. More fool us. So yeah. We're doing a special thing here because this is the campus show in the world. We're being allowed to play Steps, and I am over the moon. I'm always trying to crowbar in some happy Steps music.
Thank you.
And they've let me have my way. I think it might be the beginning of something.
It should be.
The song is called Hard to Forget.
Yeah.
And it's got a video to go with it as well.
It does.
Set in an East London cafe after a massive night out.
Yeah, cafe. I love the way you say that. It wasn't that posh.
An East London cafe.
In a cafe, yeah. Mm. It was an interesting shoot. It was a night shoot, really.
Oh,
We've not really done one of those for a while. And possibly the shortest video shoot we've ever done, which is also... good.
Well, you know what you're doing now, don't
well,
you? Just get on
you'd
with
like
it.
To think so, yeah.
But it's fun, and the energy of the song is about nights out, and
it's a bit different for us because we're obviously used to all the kind of glitz and the glamour and big dance routine numbers. But we, it literally is just kind of us at the end of the night in a greasy spoon.
Oh, and that is my perfect end to a night. Actually,
yeah.
I get quite hungry now if I go out. I get quite hungry about 9 o'clock, so that's sort of when I'm ready to go get some food. And then I'm ready for bed.
Absolutely.
So, dancing sort of 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. max, and then I'm ready for head down the cafe. Thank you so much for coming in to see us. It's been an absolute hoot and a real thrill for everybody. So thank you for being here and always so lovely. And I'll tell you that Hard to Forget, the single, is out now. Also, Steps' Greatest Hits Platinum Collection album is out from tomorrow.
Yes.
And Steps are on tour. They're also doing... Carfest, I think. Carfest.
Yeah.
Next Sunday. On Sunday night, on this Sunday, apparently.
We've got a few HMV signings this week as well.
Oh,
so
signings.
So if you want to come and see us and get your album signed, we will be there, all five of us.
Can they find that information at your website?
Yes, stepsofficial.co.uk.
If you want to get live tickets and any more information about the band, it's all available at that website, stepsofficial.co.uk. Claire Richards. You're an absolute star. Oh, you've brightened our day.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being so great. And enjoy all of it.
Yay.
Hooray. Claire Richards, everyone.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Oh, Sinead, I'm so excited about this next segment we've got.
Because you can smell it.
Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, Sinead. From Tuscany to the top of the tower, this next guest is the veal deal. He has chefed up a storm around the world, from Surbiton to Hong Kong and Mayfair to Bangkok. Now he's here to spaghetti us excited. Spaghetti us excited about his latest... Felix writes this, you know. Felix writes this. He's going to get spaghetti us very excited about his latest book, The Italian Pantry, which is available next month here for a pan-chatter. It's the terrific... Theo, I'm so sorry. It's the terrific Theo Randall!
Thank you, Tom. That Felix is a genius. He's brilliantly written. I love
it. He loves wordplay. Young people, they love puns. They love them. Now, we've all been so excited about your book. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And it's really clever because it's just using 10 ingredients, isn't it? It's themed around 10 ingredients. Is that right?
So the idea of the book, it's the Italian pantry. So it's a pantry of 10 ingredients in your pantry. And it's the inspiration of those 10 ingredients to cook from. So there might be, there's a section on breadcrumbs, a section on ricotta, there's a section on dried porcini mushrooms. And so that kind of elevates, that's the sort of star point of the dish that elevates you into kind of coming up with these creations, which I have come up with. But the idea is that you kind of cook from your pantry, and that's how I cook at home.
I really like about it is it feels it has like a real heart to it, a real soul to it, whereby you build up a pantry so you've always got that to rely on, and that's kind of your go-to staple ingredients. That's sort of behind the premise behind it.
Absolutely. So, you know, when I go sort of shopping, I'll sort of find some amazing ingredient or some pasta or something in a shop, and I will buy that and I'll take it home and I'll pack my pantry up. Oh. And I kind of grew up with that. My mother was a brilliant cook.
I like all your references to your mum.
Well, my mum was amazing, and she had this pantry which was the messiest pantry you've ever seen in your life, but it was full to the brim. She always put the chocolate on the top shelf, so I couldn't get to it. But it was one of those sort of pantries that kind of it's inspired me, and I just sort of grown up with it. So it's sort of just sort of passed on to a generation. So I'm just sort of one of those cooks that loves to use ingredients from my pantry, and that's where the books come from. And a lot of the recipes are dishes that I've cooked at home, and there's lots of stories, you know, about sort of cooking at home for my children and that kind of thing.
Oh, I like it. I like the way there are stories involved. I mean, Sinead, there was one that you picked out because you liked the story, or you just liked the idea of it.
No, it was because so I wanted to like cook something from the book and just see like what you think of it there. So I went for something I've never made before, but also that I thought wouldn't be too challenging for my skill set.
Sinead, you're a highly skilled chef. Well, you're very good in the kitchen.
I'll just say it's a spaghetti frittata. And it looks very good.
You were going to swear then, weren't you? I could tell, Theo. There was a little pause there. You thought you were back in the kitchen.
Never.
It was a very polite radio station here, as you know, but you didn't swear, so well done you. But it looks actually delicious, Sinead. It looks very nice. How was it to make it?
Do you know what? I really, really enjoyed making it because I've never made it before, and I love cooking and stuff. The instructions, or the recipe, I suppose it's called, perfection. Yes.
It's called the method.
Oh, he's trying it on air. He's trying it. We were going to have a song for us to try it, Theo, but you couldn't be stopped.
Did you just hear that?
He said it was very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Perfect seasoning.
That's the hard bit. That's the difficult bit, Sinead. That's what all these chefs go on about, seasoning.
Also, the pasta's a little bit al dente, which is quite good.
I did on purpose.
Yeah, no, very good. I can see that.
It says in the book, if you want it al dente, then...
Cook it al dente. And use the best... Use pasta from Granano. Is that right?
Gragnano. It's a town outside Naples, which is where spaghetti was invented.
Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I went there yesterday.
Did you? You're so dedicated, Sinead. Popped over, picked up some spaghetti. Oh, that's fancy. But you spent a lot of time travelling around Europe as a kid. Your mum took you on family holidays around France and Italy.
Yeah, we had these lovely holidays where we'd drive through France, go to Italy. And I think that's kind of my... I mean, I was always the sort of one that kind of chose the restaurants, and my mother was such a good cook that I kind of always cooked with her. I mean, she used to make bread 3 times a week, and so cooking was very much part of the thing. And they were kind of really into restaurants, so they kind of encouraged me to sort of get, you know, excited about restaurants. And I remember kind of from a very early age, I kind of almost wanted to be I was born to be a chef, really. I mean, having parents that were so inspiring about food, and these holidays sort of set the kind of standard for what I've kind of do now. So I was very fortunate, I think. And, you know, those experiences, I mean, the first time I had spaghetti alla vongole in Venice, we went to Venice.
Clams, and, you know, clams, and
it? Clams and pasta.
Clams in a bit of pasta.
Clams, pasta and white wine. And it was one of those things, and I remember the waiter saying, you can actually eat the clams with your hands. And as a kid, that was just like such an inspiration. So
I love that Italian approach to food as well. It seems like it is quite simple, like accessible ingredients, kind of just well done, and then you can do things like eat with your hands.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the cookbook and the food I cook, it is quite simple. It is about, you know, it's not overcomplicated.
I love
that. And it's all about, I mean, Italian food, there's nowhere to hide. It's all about the quality of the ingredients. All the dishes in there are, there's not that many complicated recipes. It's just sort of simple home cooking, which is what Italian food is really mostly about.
Sinead, congratulations. We were saying how delicious the spaghetti frittata is.
I know, I feel so proud of myself.
Absolutely smashed that. And you brought in a beautiful ricotta cheesecake there, Theo, for us to try. And
which I've also actually smashed.
Which we've all polished off.
Where's it gone?
Has it disappeared? Oh, it's so nice. Light. Not too heavy. Like, some cheesecakes are quite heavy, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely delicious, yeah.
Theo, thank you so much for joining us. The Italian Pantry is your wonderful, beautiful book. Really beautiful thing to look at and to read through and to get your story. I love hearing all about the background that has gone into it. It's really, really gorgeous. So congratulations.
Thank you.
It's released on Thursday, the 1st of September, and more information is available at theorandall.com. Randall, RANDALL. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct. Double L.
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us and best of luck with your beautiful, beautiful book and all the food. Thanks ever so much. See you soon.
My pleasure.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast. Remember to subscribe so that you never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky. For now, toodaloo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.